That was Joe with Delicia, and you are tuned in to KC at Work. I'm Analda, and we're having a great time together until 12 o'clock. I hope that you enjoyed that as much as I did. Now, one of the persons in my life that I don't want to delete is definitely Jim Adams, and today I have the incredible privilege of really just chatting to someone who's not only a remarkable technologist, space enthusiast, sometimes scientist, but really someone who's become a very special person in my life. And I first met Jim Adams in April 2022 at a conference in Sandton where we focused on how we can enhance space education in the classroom. And Jim was one of the organizers, but we were both speakers at the event. And little did I know that meeting Jim would lead to this special friendship, but also a mentorship, and really a journey that would take me places I could never have imagined. So Jim is the former deputy chief scientist of NASA. He's retired now, and he has visited South Africa many, many times. And somehow every time that he leaves, he finds another reason to come back. And we have traveled together. We've explored space and STEM education together. We created some incredible memories. And one of the most special moments to me was in 2004 when I traveled abroad for my very first time to Doha, where, thanks to Jim, I was invited to present a STEM workshop there at the planetarium in Doha with students and also with Jim. Jim has become so much more than just a colleague and a mentor. And Jim, you are someone that I consider almost as a father figure and one of the people whose guidance and belief in me I really value enormously. So today I get to share a little bit of that story with you and hopefully also inspire some of you along the way as you are listening to the story. So without further ado, Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Analda, and thank you for that beautiful, heartwarming introduction. Actually, maybe you think too much of me.
Not at all.
But it has been a wonderfully evolving friendship over the years, hasn't it?
Absolutely, Jim. And thank you for joining us. It's very, very early for you. You are. Please tell our listeners, where are you from and what time it is?
Yeah, so my wife and I and our son, who's just turning 30 years old, hard to believe, we live just outside of Washington, D.C., near a town called Annapolis, Maryland. And Annapolis is, if you follow college football at all, American-style football, I should say, that's where the U.S. Naval Academy is.
Oh.
So we have lots of fun. It's a great place to be. It's outside of the city, but we can get into the city really easily. And my colleagues from my NASA days are still here.
That's amazing. You have such a tight-knit community, and you are a family man as well. Did your wife have to make you coffee this morning, or did you do it yourself very early to get up for the show?
No, it's 5:30 in the morning, and I got up about an hour ago, and she is still fast asleep. I made my own coffee.
Good husband.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, you've had extraordinary career at NASA, and you are working, and you're still working with NASA sometimes, and really at the heart of America's space program, and it's got an influence all over the world, and even here in South Africa. Now, when you look back at your career, what was that moment that made you realize this is what I was meant to do?
Well, when I got out of college, it's a long story, so I won't take up time with it. But I ended up not following the career path I had laid out for myself. I thought I was going to be designing cash registers, right? And I didn't get that job. So I ended up working at a company who was building spacecraft. That company is called General Electric. They don't that division doesn't work any, doesn't have that name anymore, but General Electric was building the Landsat spacecraft. And I had the privilege of working on Landsat. When I first saw the first image, my first image of Landsat, pictures taken from space of farmers and crops and cities, I knew that this was life-changing, not just for me, but for millions of people around the world.
Wow.
That kind of information could totally change the way businesses operate, the way that communities respond to disasters, the way that we could predict weather patterns. It was all right there in that image. And
wow.
That's when I decided that this is going to be my life's career.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, you saw one image, and from that image, there's just so many career opportunities and place for people to dream and live their dreams. And for you to see that from one picture, it's so true. That's why I love space education so much myself. And we first met because of our shared passion for bringing space education into the STEM classroom. So why do you believe that space education is so powerful for young people, particularly children? We both share that incredible love for children, and especially those children who may never have imagined themselves becoming scientists or engineers.
Well, I think it's important for everybody to understand the creative and innovative process, regardless of whether or not they become a space scientist or an engineer at all. I mean, you can imagine you need mathematics to do regular things, you know, like cooking in the kitchen. You need a good knowledge of fractions. You know, you need a bit of chemistry. Those sorts of things are important for regular life.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's important that children begin to understand that they can change the world. And recently I heard this story about this group of girls that were coding in a competition in Nigeria. And they figured out how to use AI, a technology that I barely understand. They figured out how to use AI and space data to identify potential human trafficking routes across Africa.
Wow.
You know, when I was that age, I was more concerned about how could I get my kites to fly, you know?
Very true. Times have changed and technology is evolving so rapidly. But it's incredible what our children and students, you know, they can literally invent their own careers, because by the time...
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I think they need to develop a confidence and an ability around evolving technology. I mean, the technology they're going to use when they become adults hasn't even been, it's not been invented yet. It hasn't even been conceived of yet. And so being comfortable with the idea of, you know, I can do this with technology, and I can do it with the next technology and then the next one is extremely important for the future generations.
It's amazing, and it really just broadens the entire viewing of life and of career, and how we can reach for the stars and just go after our dreams. Jim, for a moment, I want to come back to South Africa, because you've traveled to South Africa so many times, and you keep finding reasons just to come back. So what is it about South Africa and particularly the people you've met here that keeps drawing you back?
Well, the people are lovely. The land is beautiful. And there's so much untapped talent in South Africa that it just inspires me to encourage them to, and Elder, I quote you all the time, you know, what's the way to define your future? It's to invent it.
Correct.
You know, and I use that message all the time across South Africa when I'm speaking, whether it's whether it's on the radio with you, or whether it's speaking in classrooms or in businesses, I have this opportunity to encourage people to make the most of their lives. And so that's what I'm called to do now that I'm retired from NASA.
I really love that. And I don't think it'll ever stop, because it just oozes out of you. And you still have so much to give. And Jim, you've really worked with some of the brightest minds in the world, and yet you've seen how far humanity has come in space exploration. And, you know, space exploration is also exploding. So if you could sit down with a young South African today, or anyone listening from anywhere in the world whose dreams of working in space one day, what would you tell them?
I would say, you can do it. I would say, yeah. When I was your age, space exploration was kind of an exclusive club. In fact, it was just the domain of the United States and the Soviet Union, and they were kind of having a cold war over who was going to be more dominant in space. But today, space exploration, space utilization is a global initiative, a global economy. It's pulling the world together. Did you know that 70 nations have signed the Artemis Accords, all agreeing on the principles by which we'll go back and live permanently on the moon?
Incredible.
It's an amazing time to get into tech and space exploration. But even more so, if you don't, if you just learn the basics, you will carry those skills with you for the rest of your life, and you'll know exactly how to use them when life gives you challenges.
Well, Jim, I could honestly talk to you all day. You know, you and I never stop talking. We even talk in the middle of the night for you or for me, no matter what hour of the day it is. But just before we close, what's next for Jim Adams?
Yeah. So I just take a moment and just mention to people that I feel so very strongly about encouraging and stimulating the next generation that we've set up this learning platform called BookAScientist.com. It's all free. And we kind of follow the American school schedule. So the fall semester is beginning actually on Saturday. Two sessions every month, always on Saturdays, always at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And our first session is with astronaut Mike Fink. Mike Fink has got he's logged the fourth longest amount of time in space. He's a wonderful human being, and it'll be an opportunity to listen to not only what Mike has to say about how he became an astronaut and what it's like being an astronaut, but it will also be an opportunity for our learners to ask him questions, which is something that many students don't get the opportunity to do, is talk to real scientists and engineers and astronauts. So that's what Book a Scientist is all about. You can go and you can sign up. You have to make an account, and then you can register for Mike's session if you like. And it's at BookAScientist.com.
Wow, that's incredible. And not only do you share your knowledge, your own knowledge, with students and your experience, but also give them these opportunities to speak to other incredible scientists and astronauts. That's like mind-blowing, thinking you can go onto an online call and a session and speak to an astronaut and ask them a question. So, yeah, if you're listening, BookAScientist.com, go sign up. You can be part of that movement. And Jim, I just love our conversations because, you know, the one conversation seems to lead to another, and it's just adventurous, and I always learn something new or hear another incredible story. So thank you so much for everything you contributed to space science and still contributing to education. And thank you personally as well from my side for believing in me, for opening doors for me, for encouraging me to also dream bigger. You're such an important mentor and a big part of my life. So really from that first meeting in 2022, straight through the space tours through South Africa, and you know, I'm just incredibly grateful that our paths cross. So, yeah, who knows where the next adventure will take us, because I'm sure we will still do something together. So thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you, Inelda, and have a wonderful afternoon to everybody that's listening.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. So that was Jim Adams, NASA Deputy Chief Scientist. He's retired now. And Jim, thank you so much for joining us and for continuing to inspire all of us. We really look up to you, and you help us to dream big and reach beyond what we think is possible and go towards the impossible. It's been an absolute privilege for us having you on this show. So thank you so much, Jim, for that. We're going to listen to Been By Now from Morgan Wallen, and then I'll be right back after that.